Hey, amigos, you know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Please help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. And if you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in, give me a thumb. Say hello while you're at it. It helps me a ton with the algorithm. And besides, it's real nice to see you there. And now, on to the show. Hey friends, happy Friday, where your week ends and mine begins, and on Friday the 13th no less. Hey, I'd complain, but who would listen? I'm just kidding, Chester. First of all, I'm happy to be here for you. Second, I do plenty of work during the week. If you don't believe me, just come on down to the Mail Review around lunchtime. Man's got to make ends meet. Meanwhile, come on in, friend. Yes, sir. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. Anyway, check out simplyscarypodcast.com and click the Patrons Area button. You can get our entire catalog ad-free and available to download or stream. And if you're in the mood for something different, go ahead and check out patreon.com/DrewBlood. Get your pal off the pole, you know? Anyway, so tonight we welcome back our old pal, Gray Walker, with the third installment of Homunculus. When we last left you in Season 8, Episode 10 with Vendetta, Talos battles Icarus, an advanced automaton disguised as a human who bombs Beatrice and conducts deadly research on humanity. Talos tracks Icarus to Steel City, where the machine is merged with an ancient knowledge repository. That's right, Chester. Talos unplugged Icarus and kicked his ass. Chester's a big Talos fan, you understand. Hell yeah. Anyway, in tonight's story, after defeating Janus and Icarus, Talos is assigned to mentor Nyx, a newly reanimated homunculus. Their first mission together, a hostage situation at Sector 12 Siphon, turns out to be a trap. So, without further delay, from author Gray Walker, I give you Homunculus Initiation. Talos sat on the ragged, dirty bed in the small motel room. Around him was the redolence of old substances mixed into a potent, sickly cocktail for the senses. He didn't so much as wince. He had seen and smelled far worse. The homunculus focused on the task at hand. He strolled over to the small, filthy restroom and then felt the walls. As he suspected, they were constructed of cheap, substandard drywall. Merely throwing a used shell or casing could make a hole. Satisfied, he sat back down on the bed, picked up his shotgun, loaded it, and screwed a long cylindrical suppressor onto the muzzle. Then he picked up the firearm and strode out of the door. He walked slowly past the other motel rooms, scanning each of them for their numbers. He stalked down the walkway until he found his destination, room 245. He remembered his instructions, knock 4 times. So he rapped his knuckles against the cheaply made door. It slid open, and Talos held his gun beside the entrance, just out of view of the occupant. He was a disheveled, wild-looking thug, no doubt high off of nectar.
Yeah?
He demanded impatiently.
Fuck you want? Me and my boys are gonna...
He didn't finish, as Talos quickly pulled his shotgun into view and with a suppressed hiss, blew him backward in a crimson haze. Two other men were brought out of their drug-induced stupor as he hit the ground. Both of them reached for their guns, but Talos shot one, then the other. He scanned the room. All manner of drug paraphernalia lay scattered on the twin beds, floor, and desk. The closet was open and empty, which left the bathroom, whose door was closed. Talos casually shot at the wall, leaving a sizable hole and prompting a cry of pain. The door swung open, and another bloody man came out, armed with an SMG aimed at the homunculus, only to meet the business end of his shotgun. That made three. There were supposed to be four. Checking his ammo, he slowly walked towards the bathroom, only to find another terror-stricken thug in the dirty shower. Before he had a chance to start begging, Talos fired. He grunted and removed his scanner from his belt, getting positive IDs on all four bodies. Outside, the Hermes cylinder descended from the sky and opened up, revealing the usual display of pick one above the nectar syringes, the voucher, and his cigarettes. He took a red syringe along with the other items before it blasted back off. Stowing away his rewards, he lit one of the cigarettes and began striding away. After this, a young man with ragged clothes peered out from the end of the hallway. The mole.
You got him?
He whispered, to which Talos responded with a nod and handed him 2,500 credits before taking his leave. After turning in his voucher to Beatrice, who had recovered well, all things considered, he left the siphon and returned home. He removed his jacket, boots, and body armor, then washed up and got into bed. The holoscreen displayed the local news, saying that four members of a Sector 15 gang known as the Iron Tigers had been found dead. While intervention from a homunculus was suspected, the public defense had declined to elaborate on the matter. Nobody would miss those four anyway, not even their own gang. They sold illegally modified nectar to teens and preteens, a taboo even among their numbers. He was about to light up a cigarette when his scanner beeped. Activating it, a man in a dark green suit appeared on the screen. He bore a stony, no-nonsense expression.
Homunculus Talos 15?
He asked rhetorically.
I am Agent Matthews, Albedo Central Intelligence and Security. I have an assignment for you. You will report to your handler by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning at the latest to be briefed on the details. If you arrive any later, you will be subjected to a credit penalty of 13,500. Am I clear?
Talos nodded.
Very good,
he said, then disconnected the call, leaving Talos puzzled. Normally, such messages were relayed to the handlers and given to the homunculi. For an ACIS agent to contact him specifically and not give any details, something serious must be going on. He decided to leave it for tomorrow, lying down in his bed and soon drifting off. In the morning, he dressed in his standard clothes, jacket, jeans, body armor, and all, and slung his shotgun over his shoulder before making his way to the siphon. The clock on the building displayed the time as 7:30. He liked to be early. As he entered, Beatrice looked up, then gestured for him to come into her office, unlocking the electronic door beside her desk. Talos entered and was immediately confused by the other person in her office. There stood a young woman with black hair and a ponytail, a long black coat with a hood over her head, and carrying a sniper rifle with a handgun on her belt. She barely acknowledged Talos beyond her purple eyes glancing his way vacantly before returning to Beatrice.
This is Nyx,
the handler explained.
She was reanimated 3 days ago. I'll cut the crap and say it. You're gonna be her mentor.
Blinking in shock, Talos looked between the two of them. Him? A mentor? Nyx kept her blank, vacant stare. It was common for homunculi to have such a demeanor when they were freshly reanimated. Time and experience allowed them to mold personalities for themselves. And evidently, Talos was expected to play a part in said molding. Beatrice sighed.
I know, kid. This is new territory for you. But the ACIS figured you'd be a good role model for her. If they don't think she's got what it takes, well, I don't need to tell you.
Talos winced, and for her dull expression, even Nyx seemed to flinch slightly. Rejects were usually cremated nowadays, since Janus and others like him escaped their bonds or fought back.
Anyway, the two of you are headed for Sector 12. Some group of punks have taken over the siphon there, threatening to blow it up. You know, the usual shit. Weird thing is, guy who's running it wants you to come and try and kill him. Got a transport waiting for you already. So happy hunting. Send me the scans when you're finished.
Nodding, Talos walked towards the door, and Nyx followed close behind. As they began walking, Talos noticed something peculiar. With the sound of each footstep, Nyx matched his perfectly. He couldn't distinguish one set of steps from the other, so her post-reanimation conditioning had been focused on stealth. He supposed that was a good thing. While he knew how to take down targets quietly and use the shadows to his advantage, it would be useful to have an ally who specialized in it. Soon they reached their transport shuttle, and after paying the pilot, the pair were off to Sector 12. As the shuttle flew, Talos sat across from Nyx, gazing out the window absentmindedly. Then a noise caught his attention. A foot tapping on the floor of the shuttle. His eyes turned toward the other homunculus and he was puzzled. Nyx's right leg was bouncing up and down, and she had her hands clasped. Her face, previously blank, now had pursed lips and a furrowed brow. Then it clicked. She was nervous. It seemed her new personality was already starting to develop, and it was rooted in anxiety. Talos's cold face softened. He knew why she was nervous. This was her first job after conditioning, and no matter what she may have learned, the field was a different place altogether. Talos remembered 2 years prior when he was on his first job. He had been tasked with eliminating a separatist cell in Sector 32, and had only just managed to accomplish the mission. He had been afraid, having nobody to encourage or reassure him save for Beatrice, who could only devote so much of her attention to him as a handler. Talos reached across and placed a hand on her shoulder, prompting her to stop fidgeting, look at the hand, and then at him with confusion. He gave a small smile and nodded before he patted her shoulder. Then he took a pack of cigarettes from his jacket pocket and withdrew two before offering one to her. Nyx hesitated, then held her hand up and shook her head, returning the smile all the same. Talos shrugged, took the lighter out, and lit his. Despite her refusal, she seemed to understand and appreciate the message of camaraderie he was trying to send. When they landed in the sector, the pilot wished them luck, and they began making their way through the city. It was less straight-up filthy than Sector 15. The buildings and even the people had some degrees of affluence. They walked past the throngs of people chatting nervously and looked up at the siphon. Many of them backed up in shock at the sight of the homunculi, something that seemed to put Nyx off. He shook his head at her, silently telling her to pay them no mind. Then they continued down the road. He approached a cordon around the siphon with Sector 12 public defense officers standing around, awaiting orders with bated breath. He walked up behind the chief and cleared his throat. The chief turned and snapped.
What is it? Can't you see I'm in...
His words trailed off as he realized he was speaking to the homunculi he had requested that the ACIS send. Talos gave the chief a cold stare, then held his hand out. Nodding, the chief handed a keycard to Talos. It was used specifically for breaching the siphon's hidden door beneath the sewers. Talos and Nyx strode towards a manhole conveniently located in a nearby alley when it seemed like attention had returned to the hostage situation. The leader, identified as Bennett Schneider, was on the middle floor of the siphon. However, nobody had seen or heard him. Instead, receiving demands from his lackeys, one of whom was standing on the middle floor, yelling something in a nectar-fueled frenzy about how the administration would fall. This was only the first sector. All of the officials inside were dead, etc. Nyx raised her rifle before they entered the alley, but before she could flick the safety off, Talos placed a hand on it and pushed it down, shaking his head. For all they knew, Bennett had some kind of failsafe that could blow up the siphon. She seemed to understand as she slung her rifle back over her shoulder and followed him to the manhole cover. Traversing the wet, fetid tunnel, Talos noted again that Nyx's footsteps matched his exactly, down to the smallest splash in the filthy water. She pulled the hem of her trailing coat with one hand, even as she held her rifle. The expression on her face was now one of disgust, her nose wrinkled and her brows furrowed. All homunculi had certain idiosyncrasies when they were woken up. In Talos's case, it was smoking. For Nyx, it seemed to be an obsession with cleanliness. He couldn't help but crack a smile at her expense, to which she shot him a reproachful glare. He waved his hand as if to say, "All right, all right," and the pair continued. Finally, they reached a well-concealed door in the wall, which Talos swapped the card over. As was fitting with its use as a secret entrance, it slid open silently, and Talos aimed a shotgun inside. All clear. He motioned for Nyx to follow, and they began to creep through the siphon. They carefully stepped over the bodies of the security guards and other such personnel. There was nothing that could be done but wait for a recycler team once they had taken down Bennett. Talos reached down and patted one of the bodies on the shoulder before they pressed on. Soon they reached a door that opened into the expansive lobby of the siphon. They each flanked the side of the door and peered in, finding a small group of people. Nyx's eyes scanned the room. Then she held four fingers up, made a gun gesture, and then held up one and held a hand up as if in surrender. Four combatants, one hostage. They must have kept one alive for leverage. Talos nodded, taking a look himself. Sure enough, four armed men in body armor stood around a woman whose hands were bound behind her back. By the elegant clothing she wore, it was obvious she was a high-ranking official in the sector, though what her job was, Talos couldn't say. Fortunately, she didn't seem to be worse for wear. Talos looked at the men, then he removed the badge from one of the guards. He dropped it, causing a small metallic clinking noise, whereupon the men turned on a dime.
"What was that?"
one demanded.
"Show yourself!"
snapped the other. After a few moments of silence, they split off from the group to investigate. Talos gestured at the men past the incoming group, and Nyx nodded. She pulled a face mask from her collar, then a faint buzz of electricity sounded from her coat before she vanished. Optical camo. It made sense. As the men came into the room, Talos slid behind a set of boxes. They turned on the flashlights on their assault rifles as they began to sweep the room. One made it to where Talos was hiding, and just as the light swept over him, he drew the machete he had kept and ran him through. His comrade was too shocked to react as Talos ran across the small room, pinned him to the wall with his own rifle by his throat, and crushed it with little effort. The body armor seemed to do most of the work in that regard. At the same time, a suppressed shot sounded as the head of one of the captors erupted into a geyser of blood, followed immediately by the other. The woman, too shocked to scream or sob, just sat there on her knees, covered in the blood of her assailants. Nyx uncloaked, then undid the woman's restraints. She gestured back at the small room where she and Talos had entered from, to which she nodded numbly. Soon she had left the building. Once she overcame the trauma of being held hostage and watching two men get their heads blown off, she would no doubt be paying a small fortune to get the sewer smell out of her clothes. Talos emerged from the entrance, cleaning and sheathing his machete. He then gave a small smile at Nyx and a thumbs up. Surprised by the acknowledgement, she returned both the smile and the gesture. Then they began the ascent up the siphon by the stairs. They cleared floor by floor, finding no hostages, no bombs, and only a few gunmen, who they dispatched as casually as swatting flies. As they continued, Talos wondered what kind of a takeover this was. This Bennett Schneider was either the stupidest terrorist in the history for holding the city's capital building for ransom with only a bluff and a few grunts, or else there was something more nefarious going on. He was beginning to lean towards the latter. This felt too much like some sort of test, a simulation. Nyx seemed to feel the same as she looked at Talos with a similar troubled expression. Something wasn't right, and they both knew it. Eventually, they reached the floor where Bennett's lackey had been shouting his boss's demands. They kicked the door open and aimed their guns inside. A man with a megaphone stumbled back, his nectar-driven haze causing him to stammer even without his terror.
Mr. Schneider!
He called in a panic.
They're here, Mr. Schneider!
A shot rang out, and blood sprayed from the side of his throat before he collapsed, choking and clutching the wound, then going limp. Talos initially turned back to silently admonish Nyx for shooting him, but then he saw that there was no smoke coming from her rifle's muzzle. As he processed this, another voice rang out.
I thought that little punk would never shut up,
the voice said as a man wearing a white suit and sunglasses walked out from one of the office buildings, a pistol in his hand.
Little nectar fiend. I suppose it worked out for the best, though. Now that the two of you are here.
He strode into the light, and Talos immediately noticed two things wrong with the situation. One, his voice didn't match the disdain with which he was speaking. It was absolutely monotone. Two, his lips weren't moving at all. His eyes trailed to the stranger's forearm, and he saw a small device with a screen attached to it. It displayed the words that had been spoken, a thought scribe. They had been designed for people with difficulty speaking, decoding their brain waves and manifesting them into words. Without warning, he lifted the gun and fired at them three times. Two bullets struck Talos in his body armor, and Nix was just able to get out of the way. They took cover behind office cubicles, where Talos made a motion of covering his face, a finger gun, then shook his head. Taking the hint, she cloaked herself.
I'm glad you were the one to respond to this situation, Talos.
Schneider's monotone device said.
Words cannot describe how much I've wanted to kill you since I woke up.
Woke up? It hit Talos like a train. Schneider removed his sunglasses, revealing the abnormal glow present in homunculi.
I was called Deimos by our makers. I was a top-performing homunculus until you arrived. By the time you woke up, I had crushed no less than 20 insurrections. I was a public servant. And then they made you, along with the other next-gen homunculi, like the girl you brought with you. I put twice as much effort into one mission than you have in the past 2 years. That was why I staged this little show. There was no hostage situation. I just wanted your attention. Those mercs you killed? Two-bit punks who would sell their grandmothers for 200 credits and a fix. They were just useful for lending credibility to the so-called threat. I admit, your protégé was an unexpected variable. No matter. As soon as I'm done with you, I'll take care of her next.
While the device spoke, Talos slowly shuffled along the office cubicles as Deimos peered around them, aiming his handgun, seemingly in no hurry.
Why not come on out and take care of me, Talos?
In response, Talos raised himself above one of the desks and fired his shotgun. It grazed Deimos and created red holes in his previously immaculate suit.
That's the spirit,
the thought scribe dictated flatly. The other homunculus charged him, firing four times with excitement clear on his face. Two more bullets connected with Talos's armor, though it seemed that Deimos had deliberately missed any weak points in it. He wanted to draw this out. Without warning, Talos's fist shot out and connected with Deimos's stomach. Within the same half second, Deimos's free hand slammed into Talos's face with the impact of a train. It knocked him back against another cubicle, sending office supplies flying as his shotgun fell from his hands. Exhilarated, Deimos pinned Talos on the table before beginning to brutally punch him in the face. He could feel his nose break and his skull fracture, but he did nothing. Deimos noticed this, and soon enough, his excitement gave way to confusion, then frustration.
Why aren't you fighting back?
The device relayed.
I have you here at my mercy and you're doing nothing to resist me. Have you actually...
Talos made a finger gun motion, whereupon Nix uncloaked and fired at the thought scribe, reducing Deimos' arm to a red mist. Taking advantage of his shock, Talos slammed his palms into Deimos' ears, then kicked them off. As he reeled in pain, he soon found both homunculi aiming their guns at his head. The confusion was replaced by a scarlet eruption as they both fired. His headless body wobbled, then fell limp. Dizzy from the beating he endured to keep up the distraction, Talos looked at Nix and nodded. She nodded in return and scanned Deimos' body. A familiar cylinder hovered near the window, then entered through it. shattering the glass on its way in. Nix looked at Talos wide-eyed, who just nodded. She ran over to the cylinder, which opened up to reveal a voucher and a message reading, "Congratulations, Nix. You have eliminated your first target as a homunculus for the Albedo administration." Her face lit up, and she looked at Talos, who just gave a light smile despite the bruises on his face. Suddenly, she ran forward and hugged him. He didn't expect it, but he returned it all the same, patting her back affectionately. Nix pulled back, now seeming sheepish. Talos just shrugged, then picked up his shotgun and slung it over his shoulder. He took two cigarettes from his pocket, then offered her one as he did in the shuttle. Nix hesitated again, then shrugged and accepted it. He lit hers, then his own. The pair just stood there for a time, smoking and not saying anything. Nothing needed to be said. And that was Homunculus Initiation by author Gray Walker. A little about the author. Gray says the following: "I'm only a writer in the sense that I write stuff and people read it. Besides that, I have no idea what I'm doing. If readers slash listeners manage to glean some kind of profound message or parable from my stories, odds are it was an accident, and they're much deeper thinkers than I am. My favorite genres of writing are sci-fi, fantasy, horror, or some mix in between those. My main sources of literary inspiration include Stephen King, Cormac McCarthy, controversy notwithstanding, Isaac Asimov, William Gibson, Harlan Ellison, and fellow Reddit authors Elias Witherow, C.K. Walker, no relation, and Matt Demersky. He has a Reddit account at www.reddit.com/user/m-gray42 and a WIP website where some of his writing can be found, thegraywalker.wordpress.com. Thanks, Gray.
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit simplyscarypodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at chillingtalesfordarknights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I'm afraid this is where we part ways, at least till next week. Meanwhile, be sure to visit me on the Sinister Somnolence YouTube channel for the Crimson Hour tomorrow night. Until then, grab a drink for the road, friend. May the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. May patreon.com/drewblood rise up to meet you as well. See you next time, and until then, go fuck yourselves, friend. Night, night, y'all. Say goodnight, Chester. Atta boy.